Hi, this is John. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, contact me directly for private one-on-one work, access written, audio, and video teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. May you realize true peace and happiness. What is it that we really require or need? I was asking myself that question, and I have no idea. We don't know either. You know, if you've been around for a while, so to speak, been on the path, so to speak, and talked to a lot of different people, you find that everyone has their own kind of motivation to tune in to become mindful, present, aware. And there's so many different names, there's so many different labels for what it's about. And there's so many definitions for those labels, for those concepts. And they can become beliefs, actually. But interestingly enough, you know, they say the map is good to a certain point, but then when you're an explorer, at some point, particularly with no map, how do you find your way? Where are you going? Do we as explorers really know where we're going? I think at some point we realize we don't know. And what originally produced anxiety eventually produces freedom. So whatever frame or perspective you may have, the important thing is that you can see it, you can perceive it, you can honor your own integrity around what is guiding you in this life. And I think you find after a while that it isn't about, you know, Sally, Dick, or Jane's enlightenment. Spot's enlightenment. You know, Buddha asked, does Spot have Buddha nature? Of course. That's obvious.
heart with a tongue is very close. It's not about someone else's journey or experience. Even though we are so conditioned and programmed to compare and to then measure. Okay, where am I in this? I don't even know the answer. I don't even know the next word to put in there. At some point you go, what's the point? Often when I meet people who've been on the path for a long time and they're sort of giving up in a way, I think, oh, good. That's progress. I don't care if I sit anymore. I don't care if I go, you know, whatever. Wow. Very good. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for effort and discipline and consistency and developing the skill of the art of being. Absolutely. And there's so many ways that one can cultivate that. And if you have a flexible mind, which is really important, you can mix and match and be creative and experiment and find out each moment what's being asked of you. So really we learn to listen to this realm of not knowing, rather than to project our knowing onto reality. When we project our knowing onto reality, we automatically strengthen separate identity and a feeling of separation, really. That's why so many approaches, I think, that work eventually in one way or another help you see your projection. Your interpretation. As soon as you can see it, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, as soon as you can really grok it, you can really get it, comprehend it, it ceases to have dominance. It ceases to be in the way of perception. That's why often when someone can express a condition or find a question that has tremendous energy in it, poignancy in it, when they can just offer it in a way or open to it in a way without grasping for the solution or the answer, miraculously that can just transmute, it can release. It's as if you're willing to be with fully what's happening right now in a way that doesn't in any way interfere with it, and yet gives it a kind of permission and space to be. So if it's an emotional movement, whatever it is, if it's a belief about something or an attitude or a judgment, whatever. I was working with someone yesterday, because I work with people privately as well as doing public work. And she's been on the path a long time. Beautiful being. I don't know. At least 50 years. Serious. Committed life to that. And she was upset because she's sort of leaving a certain more traditional environment in that way and kind of on her own. And she was upset that she was getting real snipey in traffic. I said, that's a good sign. You're loosening up. You're becoming more human, not just this narrowly defined spiritual person. That's what I mean. You have to be able to say yes to all of you. So that you have, you begin as you awaken and deepen in this beautiful presence that we are, that at the same time you can still be real and practical and, you know, human. Human isn't about perfection. Human's about humanity. It's about caring and loving and appreciating. So the beauty of awakening is that you can discover what you really are and find that freedom more and more and more, really. Because it's ongoing. It's not a, you know, bus stop. It's ongoing. Awakening is ongoing. Just like, you know, when you say you want to find balance, but balance is balancing. It isn't a rigid place. Balancing is a movement, just like awakening. Ongoing. So in that beautiful discovery, and often difficult and challenging discovery, you find out how to welcome back all of the parts of you, even the ones that have been traumatized and are deeply buried or afraid or angry or sad or lonely or frustrated or unfulfilled or overwhelmed, whatever, that you have now more space with this awakening process to find your way, whatever your way is, whatever your circumstances and condition are. That's the beauty of, that's the promise and beauty of this. That you embrace fully your life and others. Then you're fulfilled. I mean, deeply, I mean. You may still have goals you want to accomplish or things you want to discover or see or find, whatever. That's all great, fine, if that's part of your path. But the true meaning of freedom is that in a very deep way, you are at peace and in harmony with now. And it doesn't mean you can't at the same time fight the good fight and be out there doing what matters in this world to you. Okay? It isn't about a particular lifestyle. It might be, it might very well define a certain lifestyle, and that's, if that's what's right for you, then right on. But it isn't limited to any particular lifestyle. coming here is wonderful because we are in a not just a beautiful environment physically, but we're with people who are all deeply sincere in opening, in the willingness to be available, vulnerable, not in control. Because we're happy when we're opening, we're happy when we're receiving and giving. That's the nature of our humanity, is to love and to be loved, is to connect, is to feel what actually is here. Then we can smell the roses and enjoy nature and each other. Profoundly simply. We're done with having to be somebody for someone else or for our own ideals. We can still do that, but it doesn't matter. It's just a dance that we're doing. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with it. There's profound acceptance, which is love. So that's why I like to say that this awakening that a lot of people sort of are narrowly focused on, that's great, wonderful, and just the beginning of possibility. And most people who glimpse the truth or start to deepen into that are really finding their way now and discovering. I hear about it all the time, every day. All day. Another way of, another angle on what I'm saying is that within you is the capacity to have profound trust in what is your nature that is guiding you, rather than some external person, idea, belief, concept. Now, when you hang around good energy, conscious presence energy, it can help bring that up. It can help sort of resonate that in you too. So that's why we hang out like this. It's a nice thing to do. It works. It has real value in that way. That's why I like to be here. And sometimes it's hard to find the light and the connection in busyness and struggle and whatever's going on in your life. You have too much to do and you don't have enough energy to do it. And the to-do list gets longer and the motivation lessens. Eventually you just lose the to-do list and the bill collectors come. I think I was fortunate in one way to have had a powerful glimpse of this when I was young. Probably that in combination with a mother who told me to trust my feelings. I think those were good combinations. Because even though I did all that I've done so far, various kinds of practices and so forth, I think there was some deep trust that was there, that it was, that I was being guided home. I just knew it. You know what? You know it too. You really do. Even if you doubt. And doubt's good. Skepticism's good. I really think that's healthy. As long as it doesn't bury you or paralyze you. Let it move through the space. This essence of being is, by its very nature, trust. It's not a personal choice. It's different. That's okay to have a personal choice of trust, but I'm talking about something more. I'm talking about something incomprehensible, really. Incomprehensible conceptually, but totally comprehensible experientially. So when this presence is present, when you find it in the foreground, give yourself to that. Find out how to let it open. Naturally, as you learn that, you'll feel yourself opening, expanding, becoming more radiant, and also becoming more aware of what's holding back or pushing or tight, you know, what's defended. If there's still parts of you that have holding back, they'll become more aware. Don't let those scare you. People often are scared by that. They think something's wrong, but actually that's a good sign. It's a good sign that you're actually healing. You're actually healing, and healing facilitates awakening. They work together. So there's a very practical approach at the same time, miraculous. So the practical and the miraculous work together. The relative deepens the absolute, and the absolute reveals the relative. And then, like any good explorer, you actually find yourself discovering new things all the time. It's not like you have a bunch of ideas about it. It's just that there's a quality of being here right now that is fresh. You know, it's always when I've lived in San Francisco for 300 years now. And what has happened to my dear city? It used to be affordable. But I've always, and ever since I was a kid, you know, of course, seeing people on the tourists here riding the cable car, you know, freezing in the wind, and just like like a dog with their tongue out the, you know, sticking their head out the window on a freeway. So it's like this amazing taking it in kind of. I love that. You always see it. I see it all the time. Whenever I see a cable car going by, I look and I go, yep, still there. A lot of times people are looking for signs, like, you know, what did I like to jokingly call it? The Kundalini acid trip awakening. Something must be happening. But, you know, actually, that's all fine, and I've had my share of all those things. They're definitely get your attention for a while. They have a purpose. But what I have found that a lot of the very deep dropping away is almost imperceptible. Just you don't notice it till later. It's kind of interesting. Like the self dissolves and like you didn't even notice it. That's funny, actually. I didn't think of that. Who would be there to notice it? You know, believe it or not, I have no idea how to teach at all, but I have to say that what happens here, which is so remarkable and continually a discovery for me, is that whatever happens here is it's some synergistic drawing out of. So I want to thank you for listening so beautifully and allowing whatever to happen here. And I just hope it's helpful. Margaret, come on up. How you doing?
Overall, pretty awesome, I think. My question connects to something you said, but I don't remember what it was, but it pertained. So I definitely feel, you know, a lot of awareness a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the primary area that I very easily default into, like, super separation, identification, just it's so habitual. It's just social engagement with other humans. It's just, you know, and I can see that there's practices one can do. Like, I'm trying to explore, just even if just for a split second when I'm talking to someone at the grocery store, if just for a split second I feel awareness, that's huge compared to...
So when you feel that in that split moment, are you comfortable? Is there ease?
When I feel that, yeah, there's like an opening
of
ease. It's
the letting go of the sort of anxiety, social anxiety?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But it's very sweet and just soft. And mm-hmm.
But then you go back into pulling in?
How would I describe it? It's just like I go back into a behavior. Like it's a behavior is running me rather than me being there. That's what it feels like. And the behavior is whatever this personality being body's kind of trained itself to.
Right now, just be here. Good. You feel a difference?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an example right then of what you were talking about directly.
Okay.
So now you're connecting more.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think a lot of us have to learn how to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. Well, it's, you know, and there's a certain point in which awareness is the default setting. You can't orchestrate that. You can't make it happen. Until that happens, practice, mindfulness, all that, bring coming back to it, all of those things are usually recommended.
Yeah.
Without this, you know, fixation on the doer. Not letting that go, but just gently coming back, you know, without a lot of hoop, just a lot of fanfare, just coming back. There you go. Good. See, and you can remind yourself of that because whatever it is that's unconscious that's going on there, because it is unconscious,
mm-hmm.
needs some reminder.
Mm-hmm.
We need, and I forget to tell people this, but I think throughout all of my decades of intense practice, I always had a little guiding voice in there that was helping me. That wasn't saying, "You motherfucker. You screwed up again." No. Sorry. So a lot of people have that. You know, really hard.
I have that very strong.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And no wonder we close up and shut down in relationship to others, because there's this, you know, if we're treating ourselves with a lot of judgment, then often people assume they're being judged. Mm. So there's this tightness. There's this, of course, the heart wants to protect itself from being hurt, you know. And opening up is scary because you could be hurt, right? But when you're open, when you're truly open, there's no fear of that at all. There's no self-consciousness at all. None. Free to love. Good. See, and you're good at, you see, you're comfortable with this right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're learning. This is your learning. So you find out how to, you know, let it happen. And you will more and more. As long as you don't give yourself a hard time for when you're back there, see? When you automatically pull back into the sort of personal, defended place. At some point you just have to say, "I'm sorry." I mean, at least do, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you," you know. Ho'oponopono, that helps. Mm-hmm. Can help. Just say, "Oh gosh, it's okay." Because these parts of ourselves, they're totally unconscious. They're like, you know, they're magnetic habits. They just happen. That's why what I was saying earlier is that as you become more and more awakened, if you will, a lot of those things just lose their magnetic pull or drop away. And you don't even know they've dropped away until some friend of yours goes, "Wow, you're so much sweeter." That was good. I liked it. Yeah. So, and it's usually a surprise. You go, "Wow, that's not bugging me anymore. Wow, that's interesting." So you're always willing to learn. There isn't, you're off this thing of how it should be and that you're screwing up and making mistakes. Forget all that.
Yeah, that's been coming up a lot. Maybe in sharper relief, like you were saying.
The thing is, look, we have to give ourselves credit that we're programmed all to survive. Yeah. And to survive, you have to know, you have to figure out, you have to get things right. I mean, you know, all those programs have a purpose, unfortunately. You know, it's a little crazy.
Yeah, it's like, it's one thing that I still find myself believing. It's just, you know, there's so much I just don't believe anymore, but there's still that, like, you fucked up, like, just believing that.
Well, let's just say that may be a useful judgment in a particular context. You know, I'm not saying that it couldn't be. But I think that as we learn to be more compassionate, we can still give ourselves feedback in a way, we can find out how to give ourselves feedback in a way that doesn't create more reactivity or more defensiveness. Right? I mean, I could say those words to myself and laugh and actually find it amusing. So I'm just saying that it's not the words, it's the energy that's behind it.
Yeah.
See, you're very open right now. So that, you know this, right?
Yeah.
So just relax. This is yourself. This is your true, this is everyone's true self. Even Spot. Naturally, it becomes more available. You don't have to make that happen. It's a natural process, just like plants growing. You can't force them to grow. You can't pull on them and expect they're going to come up any quicker. You pull on them enough and you're not going to have anything to eat. But we're impatient. We want everything now. We're tired of suffering. I get it. We don't want to have the reactivity more. We don't want to be anxious in social circumstances, whatever the condition is. So you feel that. I don't want this. That's why you're upset, right? So you see that. So that gets to the heart of it. And when you do that, then you can release the tears, you can feel the grief, the, you know, then that's where that healing will lead to more openness. Not just some, let the judgment take you. If you're going to have that, then let it take you to where the freedom is. We can work with everything. Good. Okay, you're welcome.
Okay. Well, I've wanted to ask you this for a long time. You often talk about the path of the broken heart, and I kind of am curious what you mean by that, what your personal experience has been with that, or how that led you.
Sure. Okay. I'll have to think for a minute. That's going to be a challenge, but... to remember. It's hard to remember all that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was a very simple description of, I think initially it was probably from my birth, which I was born 6 weeks early and weighed 4 pounds and had to be in the hospital for a month before I could come home. And my mother said I was very needy. And she came and saw me every day for 3 hours, but 21 hours a day I wasn't with her for the first month of my life. Okay, and then they thought she had lung cancer, and she had a lung removed, and this is back when she had one of the first operations of that kind back then. It was in 1955, I was 2. And she was gone for 4 months, and I didn't even know who my mother was. So there were things like that, you know, and then things in my life that I think a lot of my own ego structure in that sense was based on longing and a feeling of, I don't know, something like that, abandonment, something like that. I remember at one point years ago, I was single, and a friend of mine was trying to fix me up, and she said, "What's your type?" And I went, "Unavailable." A friend of mine say, "Oh, they're going to break your heart." I go, "Well, I'm used to that. That's what works for me."
Yeah.
You know, I fall in love, I get rejected, and have to go through heartbreak, and that always, even as painful as it was and unbelievably difficult as it was every time I found that I developed spiritually. I thought, wow, this is crazy, but it seems to be working. Yeah. Learning the hard, I mean, this is what I call learning the hard way. Is there any other way? That's what I meant.
Okay. That's what I thought you meant.
And then, you know, that eventually... I'd say finish. I think in the last retreat, somebody reminded me recently that I mentioned that, I don't think you were you at the last retreat?
No.
But I think that I actually told the story that I got to the point where I realized I'd never been abandoned, ever. Mm-hmm. That was the story I told myself, and that was part of that was the expression of the pain.
Right.
But then eventually that finished, and I looked back at my life, and realized that never happened.
Right.
I mean, not to, it didn't deny the experience that I went through. It just wasn't there anymore. Mm. You might say that personal history was transformed. Mm-hmm. That's just another part of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, because I see personally for myself, I'm having this awareness of how this keeps playing out, this template, you know. Yet, and the suffering is very real, and and yet, you know, when you said, "Oh, how well it works for you," it does work for me. It really opens me up. I feel very connected. It hasn't harmed me. I mean, somebody just apologized to me. I'm so sorry if I harmed you. And I said, no, there's been no harm, you know?
You know, I love what Oscar Wilde said. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but it's worth mentioning. He said, you know, I think when he was imprisoned for being gay, he said, you know, it's not that my heart is broken, dash. Hearts are meant to be broken. Mm-hmm. But it's that the walls of this prison can turn one's heart to stone.
Yeah.
Hearts are meant to be broken. They get bigger.
They're
we try to keep them from breaking, and thereby they get hard.
Yeah.
We need to let them break. That's healthy. Mm. The heart needs to really... It's a self-cleaning oven.
Self-cleaning.
People go, I don't want to be weak. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? What kind of programming is it? I mean, a lot of people have bad programming. It's weak. You know, it's, you know, you got to be strong.
So what about all the emotional drama, you know?
Well, that's different.
Okay.
There's a kind of, there's a difference between really allowing the natural, healthy release of emotion and being, let's just say, how can I say it? There's another way in which it there's an awareness of it that doesn't really release, and it perpetuates the story.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. That's a huge difference. Wallowing in it, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want, that sounds pejorative, but it's, I think there's a real difference between when emotion really clears and when it's not really allowed to fully clear. Mm-hmm. When it's allowed to fully clear, you will be open right then. You will be clear. You will not be caught in the story at all. Mm-hmm. It will be, you'll feel good.
Mm-hmm.
As my mother would say, get it off your chest, honey. Yeah. She was good.
It's mommy's.
There's no shame in that. We're human beings. Of course we have.
Yeah.
Feeling all, you know, we're mammals. Mammals have feelings. Even Wilbur.
Wilbur's
a friend of mine's pig that
oh,
I just
pig.
So cute. I mean, I saw a video. I haven't met him yet, but I can tell there's a lot of love there.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Will, good to see you. Come on up. I was just thinking about you.
It's hard for me to make it into San Francisco, so I don't come often there.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm seeing you, but I'm glad to see you today.
I'm glad to be here. In a way, it's interesting to not show up that often because I get markers as to progress that I might miss if I was seeing you more.
Don't tell anybody that. Don't tell me. I'm just kidding.
You know, I think the first time I came to one of your events was a little less than a year ago, maybe February.
Oh, in Nevada, I remember.
Yeah, right.
I remember that.
And at that point, my situation was that I'd been having a lot of opening experiences, but I mean, really a lot of them, but they didn't feel very integrated with the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time that I saw you, I mean, there were some other times, but another time that stands out in memory was up in Sebastopol, and I came up and sat at the microphone. And at that point, I was having this sort of foreground background experience where it was 50-50 or maybe even more awareness than that. But I was aware of these kind of dramatic shifts.
I remember.
Things were contract. Mm-hmm. And you said at the time that, you know, that might change, that some of my neurotic patterns, that I really was saying, well, you know, this is just the way it is and I'm okay with it. But actually that happened. You know, they did change. I'm not as... Not nearly stirring up the same amount of tension around me as I used to. My relationships are smoother.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is nice.
Less foot in mouth.
Yeah. It's all a lot easier.
Nice.
But what isn't as easy yet is something that I believe was Margaret was saying. You know, this kind of sense of, you know, if I'm out in nature or with people I know well or with animals, everything is easy. But if I'm with people I don't know so well, there's still a real strong tendency for the doors to close protectively. Mm-hmm. Right? And because I, you know, it doesn't bother me that much because I don't interact that often with people. I don't need to. However, I have a project I'm trying to bring into the world about helping people feel less alienated with their bodies. You know, it's this kind of biology mindfulness thing. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it be pretty transformative. And so I feel like it's a useful offering. And then, you know, when I think of that, then these patterns, you know, it's like they don't really bother whatever sense of self I have. You know, it's like, okay, so I'm, you know, defended. I know why that is. I know I was hurt as a kid, and I know, you know, that's all right. I can live with the fact that I was conditioned to shut down. And I can work gently to try to open up a little bit more. But there becomes more of a sense of sort of frustration with it when I start thinking, I'd really like this project to find its way out in the world, and my own limitations are preventing that. And so that's sort of where I am today.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you really... Yeah, you're already opening here. Can you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was it. I mean, that was just the offering that needed to happen. As much as it needs to, I will say that. How clearly it worked right now. This is exactly right, Will. It's like when you can really, and you are very skilled and articulate in your process and describing what's happening. I've always noticed that. And it's not just words, it's really, there's a real deep sense of truth in how you're describing what's happening. And because of that, as soon as you describe it, opening follows. It's really not about getting what we want, but rather expressing the pain of the want.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're always caught in the identity of the wanter.
Right.
There's never satisfied.
Yeah.
There's no end to that. But what we're doing here, there's an end to it. There's a, or at least a lessening of it, certainly. Nice.
Yeah. You know, that was helpful. I mean, to think of that, yes. I mean, I no longer expect to get what I want on some level, but there is another level that, you know, still expects.
It's okay to want, it's okay to expect. This is where everything human, everything on the relative level is allowed.
Yeah.
Even though we may have this really vast perspective that is free and, you know, complete.
Right.
They both coexist and inform each other, quite frankly. This is why, I don't know if you know much Zen teaching, but I think this is what they really meant in this very kind of trippy language, which was form is emptiness, emptiness is form. That's what they were saying. That's what that means.
I see.
Yeah.
I've never thought of it that way.
But that's it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Matter is energy. Energy is matter. Mm-hmm. All matter is space and energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are that. We are energy. And we are matter.
Right.
We're both. We are matter that is animated with energy, by energy. And that energy is our true nature.
I feel that. I mean, I feel that often.
You do. I know. Yes. I can feel it. It's very obvious. It's great.
But it is a little startling to see the thing shrink back, like little tentacles that just pull in suddenly, you know.
And that's where compassion, it sounds like you have a pretty good attitude about it.
I'm trying. It's yeah. better than it used to be. I mean, there, you know, and it's, this isn't all that new. I mean, this is rather new. This isn't, mm-hmm. this isn't all that long standing. I mean, it mm-hmm. used to be, you know, all this stuff, you know, I'm too shy, I'm too awkward, I'm too arrogant, I'm too intellectual, I'm, you know, there's a whole list of all the things I was too much of. You know, now it's more like, well, I'm just me, and people respond to me in whatever way they do, I don't know, and I respond to them in the way that I kind of understand, but don't fully, you know, that's more the flavor of it now, so there's a big change. But there is still that edge of, like, I kind of wish it weren't this way. You know, I kind of wish I were a slightly different person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Work on that, will you? We have time now for some a little more just silence. So make yourself comfortable, and I'll have a few things to say at the end. I really recommend you to find out how to, let me put it this way, take care of yourself. And that may mean something different to every person, it probably will. But I think that's really important. Because as you learn and discover how to, naturally, without any effort on your part, your heart will open and your spirit will radiate. So it's a joy to be with you today. A great pleasure for me. Thank you so much for coming. Hope to see you soon. And in the meantime, lots of love and happy trails. Thank you.